Welcome to the Love and Respect Podcast, a conversation that changes the way you view all relationships, whether married, single, parent, or professional. Discover the relationship secret hidden in plain sight. And now the intersection of theology and psychology. Conversations between pastor
and psychologist.
They are father and son. Your hosts, Emerson and Jonathan Egerich.
Are you ready?
Here we go.
Welcome to the Love and Respect Podcast. I'm Jonathan Egerich. I'm joined here by my father, Emerson Egerich. So glad that you could be with us this week. This is episode 38 of the Love and Respect Podcast. And as I did last time, just a quick mention about four new digital product releases that we have, short form products that are in the $299 to $499 range that can be used individually as a couple or even as a small group. There's chapters, discussion questions. My sister has put out two of these, two on communication, both the single and dating edition and the married and pre-married edition. And then my father has also put out a couple products recently, two that have anywhere from, I think, three or four chapters to kind of six chapters. One's close to 40, 45 page PDF or ebook, if you want to call it that. And you can download those right from the website. And so just wanted to announce those again. And we appreciate those of you who have been purchasing them and those of you who have been sharing some of those with others. As for many years, our products have either been, you know, 6 week small group, you know, in-home studies with DVD, or, you know, the 6.5 conference, whether streaming or online, streaming or via DVD. And those have been popular and continue to be popular, but we were trying to come up with some things that were the shorter format, different price points. And so hopefully these will be found meaningful as well. And do you have anything to say about that?
No, Dan? We're exploring different ways of serving our audience and people out there. And so it's always helpful for me to get feedback. You know, we're trying to figure out ways of making this very applicable to you, helpful to you. And so we welcome feedback on that. We're trying to do a variety of things to inspire and inform. And so I'm always excited about hearing back. You know, if we get something out there for, you know, $4.99, it's a video, it's discussion questions, it's a little e-booklet. We're trying to figure ways of best serving you and how to do that. And some people say, you know, hey, it's a no-brainer. If you give people information, that's the price of a latte. So we heard that and thought, well, let's try some of this to see if this can serve you. So we want to know from you if it's helpful, and if not, what we can do to better serve you.
Mm-hmm. And so we're going to continue to try to put those out. But on the same token, we continue to put out this free podcast. The blog is free, and there's tons of fantastic content on that. And we're actually quite surprised how popular our app is right now with how many downloads there's been. So if you haven't checked that out through the iTunes store, through your Windows device, through your Android device, or your Kindle device, the app is available in all forms now, and we'll feed you the blog, feed you the podcast, and the video blog as well. And you can access all things Love and Respect through that. So an easy way to access our content, and that's free as well. So thanks for taking a few minutes to listen to that. But let's kind of jump right in, Dad. We do a quick review of last week's episode, which was episode 37 and was titled, Is There an Upside to Erupting in Anger? Why don't you just kind of remind people quickly what that was and the challenge that you left people with?
Right. Before we look at that topic, is your wife really finished with your marriage, which is what we'll address today. Last week, we talked about the erupting anger element, and all of us get angry. There isn't a person on the planet who isn't angry, and if they are not angry, they're not alive. So we all know this is a real issue, and we also know scripturally that you can be angry and yet without sin. And so there is a line over which we cross, and there is a sense that all of us have to have when we cross that line. And erupting in anger, certainly that rage element is beyond the pale. And we looked at that. And what's odd here, and one of the things that we talked about, is that some of us get into this habit of thinking, well, on the heels of my anger and explosion, then there is this, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? And then there is the hugging, the holding, in some cases hot and heavy sex and passionate love. But we mislead ourselves into thinking that the only way we're really going to connect is if we really just kind of vent and dump and let it all out. And that's not ultimately going to help the relationship. And so we addressed the importance of facing off with this erupting anger. And some of us don't see it about ourselves. We don't see the extent to which we go beyond because we feel defensive, we feel insecure. There are any number of reasons, but we move into denial in this. And I had given a very, I think, humorous illustration of that. If you didn't hear that, go back, about a gentleman who saw himself for the first time. And he really represents all of us, that all of us have to take a look at ourselves, and particularly if this is a pattern, because ultimately that does not bring about intimacy. It just creates fear because there's lack of predictability about our emotional state.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you didn't get a chance to check out episode 37, you can do so now, or share it with somebody else. Again, all those can be found at loveandrespectpodcast.com, all 37 and today 38 episodes that you'll be able to access there. Well, today's episode, as you just mentioned, Dad, is titled, Is Your Wife Really Finished with Your Marriage? And then right after that, kind of you look again, right? So kind of take a double look at your marriage if you're sensing that maybe your wife, in this instance, is kind of ready to walk out the door, whether separation or divorce. And where did kind of this topic, come from? Where did it?
Well, through the years, I have dealt with many couples, and a guy will show up and say she's finished with the marriage, and it was a younger man. I thought, wow, but man, what are we going to do now? She's done. But then over the years, I realized that she really didn't mean it to the extent that it was said. In a woman's world, there is this sense, they have, it's kind of like, come here, get away, or get away, come here, and that they're not insincere, they're not being duplicitous, they're not lying. Women just have a different way of communicating their pain and their hurt. It's the proverbial, you always do this, she says to her husband, or you never do that. And of course, then we lock into the fact that I don't always do this, or I don't never do this. And we take what she says at face value rather than trying to discern what she means by what she says. And what she's saying is, it feels this way to me. It feels like you always do this. It feels to me like, you never do this. But she's not being dogmatic, and she's not being absolute. She's not being narrow-minded. She's trying to send a message. And sometimes when it comes to even marriage, and she shouldn't say this, I don't justify it, she says, I'm finished with the marriage. I'm done. It's over with. I'm divorcing. She may be sincere, she may not be, but my first word of caution always to the man is not to take that at face value. She's trying to send a message to you. And the question is, what is that message she's trying to impart? And so I want to address that today for the man who is feeling maybe defeated, or you have a brother out there, an uncle, any male that who's come to you or said, she's saying she's done and she's not even wanting to talk to me. It's over with. Because sometimes men can say, well, what's the point in pushing this? She's told me that she's finished. Well, my experience would tell me that she really doesn't mean what you think she's saying here. And so I want to talk about that.
And why would women listen to this episode?
Well, I think for the reason that, the good question, she needs to coach the woman as well on the other side. Well, for two reasons. One, she can talk to the male about, don't necessarily believe this, because we women instinctively know what she's really trying to say to you. So I think women can coach this, because I think even women sometimes think men should be able to figure this out. Mm-hmm. But we don't always figure it out. We don't really understand it. In the same way, women don't always figure out why a man gets angry and withdraws. She concludes, he doesn't love me. Well, there isn't a man on the planet said that. That doesn't necessarily mean he doesn't love you. It means he's trying to de-escalate what he perceives to be a ridiculous conflict, and he's an honorable man that doesn't want to fight right now. It has nothing to do with not loving you. He'd literally die for you. So each gender needs to help the other understand. And so I think sometimes women are in a bubble on this. They just assume that the men should know she doesn't really mean what she's saying. And so she needs to be able to say to her brother, no, let me help you interpret this a little bit here. But I think, too, women need to realize you can't push it too far. We talk about the fact, don't use the D word, the divorce word. When you start throwing out words that are over the top and you really don't mean it, but you've said it, you're sending really a wrong message. You're manipulating, you're threatening, you're trying to get him to change by clubbing him over the head. You know, it's kind of like I say, you take two knives and you stab the person in the eyes and you say, look at me, you know. Well, you just blinded them. You there are certain things you can't say. And so I want to also caution all women listening to this. Don't go where I'm going to help him understand what you mean today. I'm not giving you license to make those over-the-top statements.
Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I guess maybe one point is that, you know, often the titles to these podcasts, the message of the podcast may be for one particular gender or one particular spouse. But I know that many people are listening to these episodes and thinking about these deeply in terms of how do they help people that they know. And I think mm-hmm. that's what you were saying. I mean, how do I help, this girlfriend of mine who I know is, you know, maybe, you know, hinting at this or stating this to her husband, and how do we walk around this carefully? Mm-hmm. How do I serve, you know, them? So I think that we've gotten that feedback as well, that even though a title may indicate, well, this is for husbands, mm-hmm. you know, only, no, it's not. And it can right. serve people well in other areas
right.
too.
Well, but also, and to that point, we go back and forth. You know, the uniqueness of our message is the idea of unconditional respect, a wife showing her husband. And so this is the novelty. This is where you get a lot of questions. So we have a tendency to respond to that to try to help her. But there are those females out there that think, you know, you're just really kind of landing always on the woman. It's always the woman's responsibility, mm-hmm. and we're holding her accountable for what's going on. And we don't want to do that. We want to have a 50-50 approach. And so in my selection of topics, as I pray, as I think about it, I want to make sure that we're coming at each gender fairly. We want everybody to feel miserable equally.
Well, I don't know when this occurred, you know, with you, but we're going to kind of go through an email exchange back and forth that you had mm-hmm. With a gentleman who, I guess, felt his wife was going to leave him.
Divorce him.
She mm-hmm. was ready to leave.
She said that. I'm going to divorce you.
And so I'll read his email, and then you'll kind of give a response to what he's saying. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sir, my wife and I started drifting apart emotionally before I was deployed. She has been stuck running the house, raising a small child and an infant, and working part-time. She is very stressed and just recently mentioned that divorce may be an option. I started attending a Baptist church here and accepted Christ into my heart recently. I love my wife dearly and do not see divorce or separation as the answer to any of our problems. I have been reading your website, and most of the articles sound exactly like our relationship. I could almost insert our names into the stories. I meet with a chaplain, and he recommends physical separation. And I don't know if that was the whole email, but you responded to that initial paragraph there.
Right. Yeah, those are excerpts a little bit, but it gives the essence of what he was saying. Obviously, he's in alarm. He's deployed. We hear this from the soldiers who you know leave, and we all are aware, I think, of the tensions, the stresses that these couples experience. And so, the dynamic here is that he's hearing from her that she's bringing up the divorce word, the D word. So I just responded, thanks for sharing your heart with me. I said, what is your wife saying is the primary reason she wants to end the marriage? And I ask that question always because a lot of times people are embarrassed. I mean, he could have had an affair, there could be something going on, and you know, he's ashamed of that. And so I always have to get the facts. I always try to get I have to get the facts. I mean, Jesus said, you know, you need to have two or three facts. Every fact must be confirmed by two or three witnesses, actually. So then I said, what is her stated reason? I said, your heart is in the right place. Here again, I just affirm that. And the Lord is obviously using this in your life because he came to Christ. I'm uncertain why the chaplain is encouraging physical separation. See, that was a red flag to me. Has he done something violent? Mm-hmm. I wasn't quite sure. Again, I have to try to read between the lines. I said, unless violence is an issue or potential violence, I look forward to a fuller explanation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, again, even as I think about the questions that you asked him here initially, people kind of examining, you know, just how they interact with their, you know, their friends and family. I mean, I know in my own, you know, practice, it often seems that the advice being given to people is not based on anything apart from somebody saying, I'm done.
Exactly.
Right? Or, you know, she's leaving me, you know, what? There's nothing I can do, and I'm going to hire a lawyer. You know myself. Well, hold on a second. Let's back up. And so at this point, as you're doing, and as I think we can all do in our lives in a sensitive way, is how do we kind of assess the lay of the land? What's a little bit of the history here? What is somebody willing to share with us? And all that, you know, on an individual level with friends and family, and we need to have choice points where we say, okay, this is beyond me, and you need to, I think you guys need to go sit with a counselor, or you know, to go to counselor or go to a pastor, right? These types of things. But this is, I think, an also example of how do we not respond too quickly, right? And how do we also not just say, well, that, you know, that kind of stinks, and I'm sorry that your relationship is going to be ending. I mean, where do we intervene at a certain point too with more relationships?
Well, no, and I think this is a very insightful comment you're making, and I think this is a principle I want to impart to those listening. If someone puts something out on the table, in other words, this information they put out there, maybe they shouldn't put it out there, but they're telling you they're thinking about divorcing their spouse or they're doing this, and they give this bad report and they put it out there. When people put something out on the table like that, they've given you full opportunity to comment on it, mm-hmm. right? And my approach is to ask questions about it, particularly if they're sharing this with you and your silence is going to be viewed as an endorsement of what they're saying. Mm. Your silence in response to, you know, because I've had people come to me, well, all my friends endorse it. Well, they actually said that? Well, they didn't say anything against it. See what they did? They mm-hmm. took the silence as a tacit approval. And so it's important that you not put yourself in that position. And we kind of addressed that a couple of podcasts ago about how people will twist information. But if you've got a loved one who says, you know, X, Y, Z, and they're making a statement, it's probably, if you're trusted, they're asking your opinion on this. So what should your approach be? Get the facts. Mm-hmm. You see, if they said, I'm done, I'm over with, he's abusive, he's emotionally abusive, he's psychologically abusive, he's verbally abusive, he's this, well, is he physically abusive? No, he's not really not. I mean, well, what do you mean emotionally? Well, he's not talking with me. He doesn't talk to me. He just shuts down on me. And so one of the things we have to figure out is what do they mean? Because you and I have a tendency to think the worst when people make these statements. And people also know they can make those statements, and it's a free pass today. And so we assume that, well, they wouldn't be telling me information if it wasn't true. Hold your horses. From their perspective, that's how they feel. But just because someone's offended doesn't mean the other person's offensive. I mean, the Pharisees, they came to Jesus and said, do you not know, there were people came to Jesus and said, do you not know that the Pharisees are offended by you? Well, Jesus wasn't offensive. They just took up offense. So one of the things I want you to think about is, okay, this person comes to me with their problem and they're sharing their heart. You have full right to ask questions. There's nothing wrong with asking for questions that clarify. Tell me more. What's that look like? What's a specific example? I need to better understand what you just said to me, because I'm thinking like he's beating you up to a bloody pulp in the corner. And so don't be afraid of asking the clarifying question. That's a standard operating procedure with me. I need to know the facts. I'm not going to assume anything here about what they're saying. And in the case with this guy, I didn't want to assume anything.
Here's his second email, and this is a lengthier one. You certainly interject mm-hmm. where you feel appropriate. My wife and I started drifting apart before I was deployed with the military. The demands of raising a child, me working full-time with much overtime, and her working part-time were putting a lot of stress on us. She is afraid of becoming like her mother. Her mother and father did not have a good relationship, and her father broke most of his promises to her and her brother. My mother-in-law has told her the only reason she stayed together was for the children. Her father is dead, and her mom says she wishes she had done something different. Now that I've been gone for so long, my wife has become much more independent. Since she has had to take care of the home and children, she likes the woman she has become. She has given herself permission to reject me and keep her anger inside of her. As of last night, she is saying that she pretty much just wanted a divorce without even trying to work on our relationship first. She is trying to rationalize to me and to herself that being divorced but staying friends will somehow be better for the children. To me, it seems like going straight to divorce, which I'm totally against, and not taking every step possible to work on the relationship will make it very difficult to remain, quote, good friends. Her and I have never learned real communication skills or coping skills. Neither one of us had a great parental relationships that we could model our marriage after. I believe we owe it to ourselves to try to figure out who we are as individuals and as a couple. I have been doing a lot of soul searching while I've been away from home. I realized that I had become a person that seemed bored and uncaring about my family. I did not have the skills to engage in an argument and disengage gracefully. Oftentimes, I would walk out of the room and not validate my wife's feelings. I did not know how or what to give her what she needed from me in our relationship. I did not know or what I needed from my wife in our relationship. I am finally learning about myself and my shortcomings. My wife is convinced that everything I say to her now is just a last-ditch effort on my part. She can't or won't let herself believe that true change in a person is possible. I know that the only way for her to see me in a new light is for me to show her when I get home. That is why the idea of separation is so difficult for me. I am excited about the possibilities for our relationship like I have never been before. She is coming close to giving me an ultimatum about us. I know right now she is leaning very heavily towards just getting straight to divorce. She has said she does not want me in the house. Not sure if she even wants to try to fix our marriage. I am feeling very lost and alone right now and do not know what to do. She has said that she still loves me, just on a different level. She said I can move out and we can go to counseling, or I can move out and just get divorced. There has never been any violence, nor have we even come close to violence. We don't yell and scream in our arguments. We just have never learned how to disengage in a healthy way. I know you are a busy person, and I appreciate the time you have given me. I know my wife would like to hear from you also. I know she is hurting and stressed out by our current circumstances, but at least she is still willing to talk to me and with me. She is also willing to listen to third parties. Mm-hmm. And that was his second email.
Well, first of all, and I think this needs to be stated, notice that he feels very inadequate in relationship to his wife, and yet that email is articulate. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's very perceptive, very aware. And I think if you're listening as a man, sometimes you begin to think that I don't know how to do relationships because my wife isn't responding to me. And I want you to have more confidence in yourself. This guy is very intuitive, very insightful, very discerning. It's just that we get mad at each other and we don't apply the skills that we know. And because in the home, we let down our hair. And so one of the things I would say to him, he's very capable of doing this. And my role is to give him hope. He can do this. Right now, she's being resistant to him. And he feels then that he's incapable of getting through to her. But what he's doing in this process, he's coming to Christ. He looks at himself. He's trying to deal with himself. And she's paying attention to all of this. And what's interesting is that women are very mindful of this. They are watching this like a hawk. And she's very aware. Now, she's sending the message, and I've been through this so many times, no, his will just get a divorce. But then she kind of says, but let's get counseling. Women will test the man. They don't believe the sincerity at times, or they don't think it's going to last. They don't think he's authentic, or they don't think this is going to remain permanent. There's this questioning. And so one of the ways that she determines this, it's kind of like the woman said, you know, I have this white picket fence around my house, and I go out and kick it every once in a while, see if it's still sturdy. Well, they do the same thing with their husband. They kick him upside the head to see if he really is faithful. You know, they push him away to see if he's really going to come back. You know, get away means come here. And this is what's confusing to males, because we take it at face value. But you've got to kind of discern, is she really that resistant, or is she really more fearful? Is she really trying to say to you, I don't want a relationship with you? Or is she really saying, I'm afraid if I take steps towards you right now, then you're going to think we're well, that everything's okay, and we'll go back to the way it used to be. And that's the heart of the issue. I've had countless women say to me, well, the reason that I resisted is I wanted to see if he was genuine in this, because if I just kind of forgive and move on, then he resorts to what he used to be, and I don't want to go through that anymore. So I'm going to really, you know, put this situation in a new light. I'm tired of that old pattern, and I want to scare him a little bit. And that's what I sometimes am suspicious of in a good sense. And that's why I'm not too quick to say to the guy, oh, well, if she wants divorce, I guess there's nothing you can do about it. That's why I was surprised by the chaplain telling them to separate. I wasn't quite clear if there was violence, but now he's coming back and saying, no, there's no violence. It's just that, you know, we've drifted.
He talked about the talks about separation, divorce, what she's asking. It sounds like at this point he's even getting ready to come back from deployment, that he's not even there.
Exactly.
And so you respond to him on this issue of some of the things he said, and in what way?
Yeah, well, I always, and this again, the first to come along is always correct, Proverbs says, but you need to hear the other side. This is a clear, biblical, judicial approach. Never draw a conclusion by hearing just one person. It doesn't mean that what the person is saying is untrue. It's just that we're selective in what we've experienced, We tend to personalize things. That whole idea of bias research, you know, the reason I am the way I am is because of the circumstance. The reason you're the way you are is because you got a rotten personality. And so we have a tendency to be more judgmental toward the other. We take up offense more than we assume that they should be offended by us. So I always have to hear the other side. So I said to him, if your wife is open, I would love hearing from her and her explanation. If you're in a position, those of you listening, to ever hear the other side, you need to hear the other side. Why wouldn't you? You have to hear the other side. And something seems to be missing. I said to him, apart from the marital conflicts that you did not disengage in gracefully, I'm still unsure why she wants to end the marriage. Based on the information you've provided, divorce cannot be justified. I'm assuming both of you want to do what God wants. Is she aware of the following information? And I said, first of all, if you have not committed adultery or deserted her, which are the two biblical positions as the basis for divorce, then I'm unclear why she intends to divorce you. If you've committed adultery, Jesus says she can divorce you. Matthew 19:9, Jesus said, and I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for immorality and marries another woman commits adultery. I said, if you've deserted her, she's no longer bound to the marriage. 1 Corinthians 7:15. Yet if the unbelieving one leaves, let him leave. The brother or sister is not under bondage. In such cases, God has called us to peace. But then I said, if neither of these have happened, and certainly there is not physical abuse from what you indicate, then both of you need to hear what the Bible is saying. If adultery and desertion are not factors, divorce isn't to take place. And then I said, secondly, God hates divorce. Malachi 2:16, for I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel. I indicated, because culture says divorce is easy and there is no fault, God's word has never said that. God has feelings about this. We can hurt the heart of God. When we distrust and disobey him, we hurt ourselves also in the long run. And the question is, why would we want to do that? He's Abba Father. And I indicated, thirdly, children are harmed by divorce. Even if a marriage is not the best, two people staying together are best for the children. All the research points toward this. The documentation of this fact is staggering. As a culture, we are guilty of ignoring all the researched facts about the impact of divorce on kids. It is not true to say for the sake of the children we should divorce, or the children will be better off if we divorce, and both of us are happy as individuals. Malachi indicates that two people need to stay together if seeking a godly offspring is the goal, and that's Malachi 2:15, seeking a godly offspring. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7:14 that a believer should stay with an unbeliever even though it is not the best of marriages, because divorce can have a very adverse effect on the children. The children are unclean, he said, but this way they stay holy.
So I mean, at this point, you're kind of, you know, he's a new Christian.
Exactly.
You're kind of explaining things. You don't know where his wife is.
Correct.
With her faith. You haven't obviously heard her side of the story, but you're kind of giving an explanation for why we do what we do when it comes to marriage and staying together, and in part based on just the information he's given to you at this point.
Yeah, and I took the opportunity to boldly lay that out, because I've recognized people are not mean-spirited and they're not indifferent to Scripture, but if you don't sometimes bring it before them in a sensitive, loving way, because you're communicating, I'm for you, I'm for your kids, I'm for your relationship. And I find a lot of people very teachable, very humble. And I just assume that that would be very meaningful to him because he's a new believer. He may not have known any of that. But I also knew they were talking, and I figured that he would share that with her. And if she was a believer, I kind of wanted to put that out there for her, because people are tender. Some people resist it. Some people hate it. But if you got a relationship with someone and they know you love them, then you're the person that has that opportunity to communicate these things. And that's what I did. And I said, four, we are to trust our loving God and his truth, even if it is contrary to credible people in our lives, you know, who are telling us something else. To listen to the voice of someone who we love but who is misleading us can be unwise and harmful. And I was saying that because I was thinking she may have a friend who's divorced three times, you know, and she's saying, oh, you know, divorce the bum. We have a tendency to promote righteousness to the level that we ourselves live. So if I've divorced three times, I'm not going to tell you not to divorce. I'm not going to promote a standard of righteousness higher than I've lived. So the more we hang out with people, let's say, and divorce doesn't mean they've got the scarlet letter on them. We're not trying to be demeaning of that. But it's very difficult for people to say, don't you divorce, when they themselves have. So if you start associating with people out there, and so I wanted to make sure that if she had a BFF who's been divorced but loves her dearly and will always love her dearly, she could be misled by that information. And I wanted to kind of shoot that across the bow there. I said, as painful as it can be, a daughter may need to choose to trust Christ and his counsel above her mother's. That's right. And in this email, she said her mother, I think, was kind of a factor there. So I said, let me stop there. Would your wife be gracious enough to provide her side? You indicated that she's open. I'd love to hear from her.
And then his third email, maybe we'll go through some of these kind of quickly. There's some brief interchanges here. Sir, I just got off the phone with my wife. She does not feel comfortable bearing herself to somebody over the internet. She asked me to have you call her if possible. Would you please call her? While it hurts me to know she is not ready to talk about some issues with me, she is willing to talk to somebody. That gives me hope that all is not lost. I have not been a great husband and have hurt her in the past, but I have never strayed from her, nor do I believe she has. Thank you for your time, and please call her. She is hurting also and needs to talk to somebody besides her friends. I do not believe she has been saved.
Said, hi, Jason. My heart goes out to you. I would use this information I emailed you as a way of praying. Ask God to be merciful to you. A great verse is in Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. Because of the amount of email and responsibilities before me, I'll be unable to call. But if she changes her mind, please have her email me. Please don't guilt trip her. Give her some time to process. You are a leader. This is a test of your leadership. Be strong. Be gentle. I know a man who was part of a SWAT team who waited on his wife for a season while she committed adultery with another police officer. He won her back. Hosea the prophet was called by God to go win his adulterous wife. We read in Hosea 3:1, then the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by her husband, yet an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the sons of Israel.
And you're not saying his wife is an adulterer, but what you're saying is that you can even win back a woman who is
Well, all the easier if your wife is not committing adultery. Exactly. Yeah, that was the point.
Okay.
Good.
Jason's fourth email. Dr. Eggers, thank you again for all the time you have given me by responding to my email. I have been meeting with one of the pastors at the church I'm going to here in North Carolina. He recently got out of the military and knows how some of these situations can be, especially after a long separation from your family. My wife has also spoken with him and pretty much said that she does not really want a divorce.
There you go.
Just feels trapped.
There you go.
She has also said she would start going to church with me when I get home. I just have to find one. Sir, I know God is working through me. I just can't see the big picture yet. Yes, I'm saddened by the whole situation, but I have faith and hope that all is going to be okay. I think we can actually come through this time of trouble stronger than ever. Oh, she did agree with my pastor that neither one of us came from a great family life, therefore did not really know how to be good husbands and wives. I know I did not, and I know I have a great deal of work ahead of me, but I will make it, and I will be back with my wife and children.
I said, stay the course, Jason. That was a good report. Things are looking up. You can win her through loving tones and facial expressions when tension arises. This is the test. It is easier to die for honor than to be loving in the face of dishonor. This is a challenge. If you can make it through that boot camp, you'll make it. Mm-hmm. And so the point here is clearly that is the telling statement when she indicated that she had no intentions of divorcing. My wife has also spoken with him, this pastor, and pretty much said that she does not really want a divorce, just feels trapped. And that's why it's important for any man listening to this, and any man that you're coaching or dealing with who said, well, she says she's going to get a divorce. Don't take that statement at face value. There are other things going on here, and it's the best way she can capture the intensity of her frustration. And the point was, I'm feeling trapped. I guess the only thing I can do is get out of this. So the real issue here is, how do you help her begin to feel that she's not trapped? That's the issue.
Well, the issue is, if you don't not taking it at face value, but certainly responding to what
you're
hearing.
Yeah, take it seriously. Yeah. You don't want to be dismissive, but the issue isn't that she wanted a divorce. The issue is she felt trapped. Mm-hmm. And so how do you help her begin to process, what am I doing that's making you feel trapped? That's the root issue here. She's using language that she shouldn't to describe the feeling of entrapment, not the fact that she really wanted the divorce. And that's what I've come to learn. I've just learned it over the years. And also, a person can be very sincere on Tuesday, I want a divorce, but they regret saying it on Wednesday. So don't hold people to what they said yesterday if they've said, I don't really feel that way today.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was the email exchange between the two of you in helping this gentleman kind of unpack what was going on, with his relationship. And in some ways, there's a uniqueness to this in terms of the distance that's there. I mean, for much of this, he was doing this remotely. Well, it sounded like he was, deployed, or at least not near her based on where he was. And so, he was, for some of you, you're there, with your wife. And these things can be, I think, unpacked more quickly through a pastor, getting into counseling. Really, let's deal with this. Let's not do anything rash. Why are you making these statements? And so I think this, in some ways, in many ways, it kind of is a message of hope. It may be a wake up call, right? But, and things may have been said that shouldn't have been, said to get what, somebody really wanted, but certainly it's a time to kind of put a line in the sand and say, well, let's make something different in this relationship. So I guess as we wind up today, and maybe you summarize and then kind of give a challenge for, this week's, episode, what do you have to say?
Well, I think the points here, he opened himself to getting counsel. That mm-hmm. was a huge declaration to his wife that he's wanting to deal with himself. And women are very empathetic toward that. They will say, you're the one that's got the problems. But then if they see us humbly dealing with it, they counter with their own humility. Well, it's not all you, it's me. In fact, it's more me a lot of times than you. And they reciprocate. But you've got to sometimes make the first move there, and then she'll humble herself. Because much of what drives a woman is fear. But if you can reassure her that you're dealing with yourself, she's going to imitate that by looking at herself. And he was authentic. He was humble. I think she was picking up all that. I was certainly hearing all that. And I know when we read his email, you all who are listening, he's facing himself. He's not trying to assign blame. He's just trying to figure out what he's supposed to do. And then in that process, she became more assured that he really wanted to understand her heart. And she softened. And she admitted then that she really did want a divorce. So I say, as a husband, are you in the same boat that Jason found himself? And here's the deal. Is your wife really asking? Here's the real question. Is she really asking, do you really hear me? Do you really understand me? Do you really accept me? Do you really love me? That's really the heart and core of a female. Do you really hear me? Do you really understand me? Do you really accept me? Do you really love me? And when she feels your answer is genuine and caring, it's a genuine yes, I do, she'll stop saying, I want a divorce.
Well, we hope you enjoyed episode 38 of the Love and Respect podcast, and I'm sure many of you, this probably was applicable to, and then for many of you, you know a relationship where these things have been said or have been hinted at, and you can be a listening ear in the sense that you attempt to get all the facts, a listening ear in the sense that you try to hear both stories, and a listening ear in the sense that after listening, you don't necessarily remain silent as a way of potentially giving an endorsement to what one or both parties is saying, but you respond in an empathic, caring way that allows for something to change in these people's lives, or even in your life. So we appreciate you listening this week. Again, 38 episodes there now to go back and to listen to share with others. As I mentioned in the beginning, some new products that are available. We hope you check those out, and we shall see you next week. Take care. Thanks.
You've been listening to the Love and Respect podcast. For more information and additional products, go to loveandrespect.com and follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Join Emerson and Jonathan next week for another episode.